Hello, once again, welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Sarah LaDuke, in for Ray Graff. I want to remind you very quickly before we start that you can support WAMC anytime at wamc.org. We are going to talk cookbooks with Pam Abrams and Chef Annette Tomei on this edition of Food Friday. Pam Abrams is, in addition to being a swell person, a food writer and producer of culinary events, including the Culinary Arts at SPAC and Cookbook Club, led by Annette Tomei, our other guest, at Franklin Square Market in Saratoga Springs. It's a monthly club. We'll talk a little bit more about that later. Annette Tomei is a chef, food and drinks educator, and culinary travel specialist based in Kingston. She teaches at the Culinary Institute of America. These two were on the show late last year, and they spoke with Ray Graff about the best cookbooks of 2024. Today, we're spotlighting some of their favorite single-subject cookbooks. What is your favorite? Give us a call, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, or you can email us, voxpop@wamc.org. Pam Abrams and Annette Tomei, welcome back to Vox Pop. It's great to see you. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Thanks so much. It's great to be back.
Let us, as I promised in my intro there, talk about Cookbook Club. Tell us all about it.
So Cookbook Club with Franklin Square Market is an opportunity for, it's an opportunity for me to introduce people to some of my favorite cookbooks via hands-on engaging experiences. So I pick a book, I pick some recipes and a topic to take people through, and then we make two or three recipes. I'll do another extra two or three demos, and then the best part, we get to eat what we make.
Always the best part. How did this get started? How did the two of you partner to put on this series, create this club?
So I took a class that Annette does online for the Kitchen Arts and Letters bookstore called Cookbook Club, and it started, I believe, during COVID when all of us were in our kitchens by ourselves and not going to restaurants anymore and not having dinner parties. And I really got to like Annette's style and this idea of a cookbook club where a community of people would all cook from the same book together. And I approached Annette and said, would you ever be interested in doing an in-person version of what has continued after COVID to be a successful virtual cookbook club? And she was happily game to do it. So luckily, Franklin Square has this beautiful teaching kitchen, kind of studio kitchen, and we've got room for about 25 people. And every month we together just pick a book and, as Annette said, invite folks in to have a community experience.
How do you select the books that you will use for the club?
Pam and I are both avid cookbook collectors and love to explore flavor and culture through cookbooks. So we just get on a Zoom call together or meet up for lunch. And
we like to look for new things. So we're trying to, you know, highlight new books that are just coming out. And that's, I think that for me, I just read cookbooks all the time, and I'm always excited by what's coming out. So the idea of getting to share that with a group of people, a new author, maybe it's a trending, like a fad or a trend. Mm-hmm. We just did a Greek cooking class recently, and there was just a beautiful new book about the flavors of Greek, and the author made a compelling point that Greek food was the original Mediterranean diet food. Yep. And so, you know, it just had everything going for it.
How important is it that from month to month it's different, very different from the month before?
I think the biggest thing is incorporating how we're going to do hands-on.
Sure,
I want people to get their hands dirty. Mm-hmm. I want people to play with the food with us. So yes, we want diversity. Yes, we want to constantly be introducing new flavors and techniques. But I'm looking for things that we can
accomplish in the time given.
Yes.
Yes, of course. No, isn't that always the
way?
And
I'm up for the challenge.
I'm sure. I can tell. Pam, you said you read cookbooks all the time. And I think of cookbooks as something you know, thumb through when you want to make something, not something you would just necessarily read. And I'm understanding that I'm incorrect about this approach, or at least there are other approaches, which is how you are living with cookbooks in your life.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, there's a lot to read in a cookbook. Head notes at the top of a recipe often tell a story and are more than just a hint about how to make the recipe turn out right. They actually take you a little bit deeper. Introductions to cookbooks I find fascinating. Tells you about the author's journey and how they arrived at a certain subject that they liked. The reason we wanted to talk about single subject cookbooks today is because those are the books that take the deepest dive into a very narrow topic. And there's something about reading, for example, a book all about salt, you know, 300 pages of it. You come away really learning something that you never knew before, and it takes you into areas beyond the kitchen. So you learn about, you know, history and culture and economics and all kinds of things that make you feel smarter in the end.
You two have brought in a lot of single subject cookbooks that we can talk about this morning. Annette, do you want to dive into one of them now?
Well, I'm going to start with the top of the pile here, which is Simply Tomato by Martha Holmberg.
And that's about, just kidding. It's a tomato cookbook.
So I am just really excited to introduce this book to people. It's been around for a little while. It's not a brand new release. But we're getting ready to celebrate summer, spring, plant our gardens.
AKA tomato season.
Tomato season, hello.
Yeah.
And so I thought this would be a great place to start. I also learned along the way as I was introducing this book to some others, to actually my virtual cookbook club, that tomatoes can be a divisive topic. Some people really hate them.
Yeah. Some people won't eat them raw or won't eat them cooked, depending, like one way or the other.
Yeah. So I'm curious. I would love to hear how people feel about tomatoes in general.
So kind of a poll question for our listeners. 800-348-2551. How do you feel about tomatoes? Call us up and let us know. The phone number, 800-348-2551. Pam, do you want to recommend a book?
Yes, there's a British author named Mark Diacono who has written a series of single subject cookbooks. One of the ones that I like the best is called Sour, and it's the exploration of a taste. And, you know, he says from cheese to vinegar throughout centuries, we've deliberately let and even encouraged food to go sour to enhance its flavor. And so along with all great recipes for pickling and fermenting and making things with a sour taste, he really explores how did we get to the enjoyment and how does sour balance out a menu. So that's a deep dive that, you know, not for everybody at every moment, but if you imagine that single subject can be an ingredient, it can be a taste or a technique. This is one of my favorites on taste.
How did you decide that this would be the topic you would bring to Ray for Vox Pop? And now, luckily me, I get to learn all about it too. But after last year's appearance, how did you decide single subject cookbooks is another route, another topic we'd like to dive into?
For me, it was when I think about the creative process, I love parameters. I love really strict guardrails. When I was a chef and if I did a cooking competition, you've seen the black box competitions where you get ingredients and you have to make a 3-course meal out of it.
Right.
Those are really strict parameters. So when we were thinking about it as applies to cookbooks, a single subject cookbook is as strict of a parameter as you can get.
It's like the opposite of Mark Bittman's How to Cook Everything.
Right.
Or The Joy of Cooking. You know,
yes.
You can either have, you know, 100 single subject cookbooks, or you can have one. And I think we
or you can have 100 single subject cookbooks and one big, you know, tome.
Yeah, and the tomes are great, but this is sort of the other end of the spectrum. And we look at plenty of, you know, when we were doing our research for what books we were going to talk about on the show today, I mean, it took a lot of back and forth with, so are desserts a single subject? And we decided no.
Right.
We decided cookies are a single subject.
Yes.
And Christmas cookies are an even more of a single subject. But desserts themselves, and there are plenty of great dessert cookbooks, didn't make the cut for this topic.
All right. It has to be singular.
Yes.
More single a subject than desserts. It is time for our first underwriting break, but let me tell listeners the phone number to call in to join the conversation about cookbooks, single subject cookbooks, or ingredients is 800-348-2551. The phone number is 800-348-2551. And you can also email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Pam Abrams and Annette Tomei are our guests, and we will be right back. Welcome back to Vox Pop. I'm Sarah LaDuc in for Ray Graff. The phone number to call in and join our conversation about single subject cookbooks is 800-348-2551. Pam Abrams and Annette Tomei are here in studio, and we did have a listener write in on the tomato question.
Okay.
Rick wrote in and said, I'm a firm advocate for tomatoes. I would be willing to even start the petition to rename the BLT, the T, whatever, whatever. So that's how strongly Rick feels about tomatoes. Fantastic. Again, the email address, voxpop@wamc.org. The phone number, 800-348-2551. We do have a couple of calls. So before we get to more single subject cookbook recommendations, let us invite into the conversation Chris in Housatonic. Hello, Chris.
Hey there. First of all, you can use tomatoes by making ice cream. But my question is, have you ever cooked with papaya and made pancakes and also white tea pancakes?
Go ahead.
Tomato ice cream sounds actually wonderful. I could totally get into that.
Disagree. Go ahead.
Disagree.
I would try it because I'll try anything.
I've got that chefy perspective
sure,
on that one.
Sure.
I have cooked with papaya quite a bit. Oddly, I haven't baked with papaya nearly as much as I've used it as a savory ingredient. It is wonderful. There's a Caribbean fish stew that uses green papaya.
The moisture content in a ripe papaya might be hard to bake with, wouldn't it? It's pretty.
Yeah, you'd have to
full
cook
of
it
water.
Down to something.
Yeah. Yeah, fairly full of water.
One a of question them... for you. What is the difference between the deep red papaya and green papaya?
Ripeness.
What is it?
Ripeness. The green papaya
is
underripe, and the red papaya is very ripe.
Okay.
Thank you for your call, Chris. Have a great afternoon.
You're welcome.
1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Let's now go to Cindy in Saratoga Springs. Hello, Cindy.
Yes, hi. Can you hear me okay?
I can indeed.
Okay, great. Hi, Annette and Pam. I have had the great pleasure of taking a bunch of your classes at Franklin Market.
I was wondering if that was going to be
so
the case.
Much.
You've got a plant.
Them.
We've got a plant calling
yeah,
in.
Yeah, I love them. And I just took the Greek one, and I actually came home and cooked from it, too. But my question is that considered a single subject book if it's just on a country like Greece that we just did?
I would say that for my own parameters, no, I don't consider that a single subject. I would say that baklava would be a single subject.
Spanakopita cookbook.
Spanakopita.
I did make that.
Cooking with phyllo would be a single subject
sure.
cookbook.
That makes sense.
But as specific as the Greek cuisine is, I still think I would call it at least general on my scale.
Okay, interesting.
Thank
well, they're
you.
Not. It's not a. It's not a value judgment. It's just
okay.
Not a. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, a single subject cookbook is the topic of today. It doesn't mean it's a better kind of cookbook than a multi-subject cookbook. I wouldn't say that. That's
well.
What
when I
saying.
Go to the classes, I always have to bring a notebook now because Annette, you are so full of information. Like that's out of the cookbook. It's just unreal.
I'm glad you said so
I
full of information instead of something else.
So wonderful. Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening and for calling, Cindy. 1-800-348-2551. Pam, I think I cut you off. Go ahead.
I was thinking with Rick and his tomato comment that he's clearly a tomato fan. And one of the things about single subjects that I like is that they make great gift books for the enthusiast. So you can find, I don't know of a papaya book, but you can find the right cookbook for the right passion often. And, you know, come holiday time, I tend to pair cookbooks with a subject, you know, with I gave my son last year the Chili Crisp book with a bottle of Chili Crisp.
I gave my husband a Sriracha cookbook a few years ago.
Yeah. So that's kind of just a nice way to pair things up.
The phone number is 800-348-2551, or you can email us voxpop@wamc.org. Would you like to tell us about another of the books you brought in? Or did you have something else you wanted to talk about?
No, I think it would be great because Pam and I each have our own books that fit the subject.
Cool.
I wasn't sure if I thought that this subject was a single subject, but the more I thought about it, the more I think it can hold its own.
Yes.
Pasta. And this book is literally called Pasta. It's by Missy Robbins, who is an incredible chef in New York City, and Talia Baiocchi, who is a sommelier in New York City. Mm-hmm. And the subtitle is The Spirit and Craft of Italy's Greatest Food with Recipes. And this is one of the most comprehensive books I have worked from that covers everything you could possibly want to know about pasta, and then Pam's takes it to a whole new level.
So one of my favorite pasta books is called The Geometry of Pasta, and it's actually started out as the idea of a designer who has designed the most beautiful illustrated book about the shapes and the twists and the turns of pasta. And then he went out and partnered with a chef to partner the right shape to the right sauce and the right way of preparing. So it's not like, you know, pesto goes
besto. It's right there. Pesto goes besto with. Sorry, fam.
I love this book because it actually taught me something I didn't know, which is like, use the right shape for the right sauce, and you will enjoy both better. And it's also just a pleasure to look at this book. It's all black and white. The illustrations are gorgeous. It's been out for a while, The Geometry of Pasta, but I believe it's still in print, and really one of my all-time favorites.
It's a beautiful book. 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Let's go to Avery in Albany. Hello, Avery.
Hi, Sarah. Thanks for taking my call.
You got
it. Hi, Pam. Hi, Annette.
Hello.
Yeah, this is Avery from Collar City Mushrooms. And Pam, I know you brought that one mushroom cookbook one time that we did have a conversation. I was wondering if you found any other mushroom-specific cookbooks that were good.
Well, I love Cooking with Mushrooms by Andrea Gentle. She began her career as a food photographer, and that really is still her main gig. But she was always obsessed with mushrooms. She liked the intersection of nature and food. She's a studio food photographer, but she also likes to shoot outside. And mushrooms for her provided, as you'll know, Avery, the artistic side of mushrooms and the nature side of mushrooms along with the kitchen side. So I think it remains my favorite Cooking with Mushrooms book, but I don't think it is the only one out there. Mushrooms, as you know, are a hot ingredient, and with a hot ingredient usually follows a book. And cookbook authors who are on top of trends try to take advantage of that, and good editors will try to go out and look for writers who are willing to explore the trend or the fad in a, you know, in a deep way. And sometimes, and this doesn't go directly to mushrooms, but Annette and I had discovered that sometimes the fad and trend can be very fun and playful and silly, like Jell-O, and other times it can be like a really scholarly work. We found two books on the mint julep, which is apropos of today and this weekend. One of the books was really kind of like just a Southern spin on modern, the modern Southern spin on an old cocktail. And then the and it was, I would say, just trendy, cocktail-y, kind of very pretty photographs.
Yeah, it was several ways of making a mint julep at home.
Yeah. And then the other one was just a more a deeper dive and a more scholarly work by the University of Virginia Press on the history of the mint julep, which did have its own thing, which is, I think, far afield from your mushroom question.
But still.
Well, but it starts with an M. One follow-up question. Annette or Pam, do you have a favorite mushroom to cook with?
Oh, my goodness. Whatever somebody is giving me. I really love trumpet mushrooms. I like to mix the different textures and colors together. I love chanterelles, especially when my friends forage them and bring them to me. And I wish I knew more about foraging mushrooms, and that's something that I wanted to take up as
you still
a hobby
can.
And still will.
Yeah.
I definitely will.
Good.
But mostly I will cook whatever somebody brings me.
Pam, do you have a favorite?
I like shiitakes, actually. I use them for sort of everything, but like Annette, I like to mix mushrooms up. Big fan of Collar City mushrooms. They just are doing a bang up job bringing local mushrooms, you know, to all of us here in the Capital Region. So that's awesome. And I live in Saratoga, and I can find them now at quite a few stores. And if you've never been to their vertical mushroom farm in Troy, that's a fun field trip.
Yeah, well, we've actually moved now. We're at Indian Ladder Farm.
Oh, cool. I'll have to take another field trip.
Yeah. More field
I
trips.
I might need that field trip.
I think we all do. All right, let's just leave the studio and go there now.
And we're doing a foraged festival next week. So, you could check that out.
Where's the best place online to find out more information about that, Avery?
So foragednewyork.org.
Foragednewyork.org to learn about the forage festival next week. Very cool. Thanks for calling in, Avery.
Nice to hear from you.
Yeah, all right. Thanks so much.
Yep, have a great day. 1-800-348-2551. The subject today is single subject cookbooks. I have to find a better way to say that sentence so that I don't say subject twice. The topic today is single subject cookbooks. The phone number to call in to speak with Pam Abrams, Annette Tomei, and me is 800-348-2551. The email address is voxpop@wamc.org. Do both of your pasta books, or the one that you talked about, Annette, does it assume you're making the pasta?
No. Okay. It has both fresh and dried.
Cool. What is the next topic you want to talk about?
I like this preserved series of books. There are four volumes, and they're written by a trio of authors who Annette can probably speak to, one of them being Dara Goldstein, who's one of our joint favorite authors around.
Yes.
And this series is about preserving food. So jumping on to that popular topic now of fermenting, pickling, preserving, they did a series of four beautiful small books, preserved condiments, fruit, drinks, and vegetables. So you could go deep into any of them, but also as a set, they're so beautiful, and it really just makes me want to gift the whole set to somebody. They're adorable, and they're very beautifully photographed. And Annette, maybe you can speak to Dara's merits.
So I have been following Dara Goldstein's work for years. I have a master's of arts in gastronomy, and so her writing has been a source of great inspiration and resource for me for many, many years. And she was the editor-in-chief of Gastronomica.
Gastronomica. I didn't know it, or I would have helped faster, but I didn't know what it was. So I wasn't just.
It wasn't making it out of my mouth.
I understand.
Smoothly.
Gastronomica,
so, which was one of my absolute all-time favorite magazines. Anyway, so I feel like this series is great for the home cook who's really interested in taking a deep dive into a subject. Even if they don't want to ever cook from it, it's fantastic to just read from. But I also think this series appeals to the chefy types, to the intense cooks, to the professionals, even based on the quality of the research that goes into it. And
I mean, I can always tell when I read a cookbook, I always take Post-its with me. Mm-hmm. And so the more Post-its that I've put on the pages, the more, you know, I want to cook from the book. And I'm not a professional chef, but there are multiple recipes from these books that I have made and happily. Yes. And you know, would like to return to.
They're also pleasantly marked with your little, those little sticky notes that stick out the top a bit and are just assorted colors that makes it look, yes, really usable and friendly.
Yeah.
1-800-348-2551. Pam Abrams and Annette Tomei are here. This is Food Friday and we're discussing single subject cookbooks. Let us go to the phones and to Leslie in Albany, who's weighing in on tomatoes. Hello, Leslie.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. I just wanted to say I used to love tomatoes, but I get migraines when I eat tomatoes.
Oh, oh my goodness. I have not heard of that specific trigger before, but I mean, I believe you. Have you spoken to any of your physicians? Is that a common thing, or have you, you know, Googled it? do other people
well,
have
I did,
this?
I did. Yeah, I think so. I used to look at all the other regular triggers like chocolate and red wine and that kind of thing. But tomatoes are in the nightshade family, and nightshade vegetables can trigger migraines. So I stopped eating tomatoes, even though I used to love them.
Oh, that's disappointing. But you have to do what you have to do for your health. And it's exactly this reason why. So tomatoes is going to be one of the featured cookbooks for the virtual cookbook club through Kitchen Arts and Letters for this coming summer season. And because of this, I decided that month, instead of just having one book, I was going to give people the choice of two. So the second book is called Pesto, the Modern Mother Sauces by Leslie Lennox. And so if you can't have the tomatoes, then it gives you more reason to bulk out on the pesto, because that's good for you and it's delicious. And it's the same season.
Yes. Leslie, yes, I do love pesto.
Go ahead. I'll go ahead and then you'll go
ahead. I also try.
Okay, you go ahead. No. Leslie, you go ahead.
Okay. I also try to avoid potatoes because they're also in the nightshade vegetable, but I have a much harder time staying away from them.
Yeah, they're in
French
everything.
Fries. Hello.
Yeah, as a single ingredient or in a lot of things. Also, what is that classification of nightshade if tomatoes and potatoes are both of them? They don't seem similar at all, except they sound the same, but they don't grow the same. I don't get it. Fix it. Solve it. No, I'm kidding. It's not up to you guys.
Off topic.
Yes. Leslie, is there anything else?
I guess that would be a good question for the gardening show.
You're right. Yeah. You're very right. Thank you. Homework for the gardeners. Thank you. Good thing you know what's going on around here. Thanks for calling. Sorry you can't eat tomatoes anymore. And thanks for listening and calling in.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a great afternoon.
Bye-bye.
The phone number is 800-348-2551. This is Food Friday on Vox Pop, here with Pam Abrams and Chef Annette Tomei. It is time for a break, but we will return right after this. Welcome back to Food Friday on Vox Pop. I'm Sarah LaDuke in for Ray Graff, here with Pam Abrams and Chef Annette Tomei. We are discussing single subject cookbooks and kind of anything else that comes up as we chat and chat to our callers as well. The phone number is 800-348-2551. The email address is voxpop@wamc.org. Annette, where are you taking us now? Somewhere wiggly, I hope.
Something wiggly and jiggly. One of the very first single subject cookbooks that may have something to do with how I chose my career. The Joys of Jell-O.
The Joys of Jell-O.
So it is the first cookbook I remember from my childhood. And I used to sit and read this book or page through this book. And I just recently, I wish we had video for this, but I just recently had Pam's copy of Joys of Jell-O and was paging through it and had so many flashbacks.
Sure.
And I'll bet everybody out there has seen a copy of this from one generation or another. It's been around for as long as Jell-O has.
Yes, my copy is from my husband's mother's collection, so probably from the 40s or 50s. And it was actually put out by General Mills as a advertising kind
right.
of pamphlet cookbook, which is how many of them started. But it's interesting because Jell-O's had a bit of a resurgence lately.
So in this resurgence, I mean, Jell-O's always been around if you're a kid, but a friend of mine is a culinary historian and cookbook author, and he has this ability to take these crazy, unusual deep dives into ingredients. He is a professor of food studies. His name is Dr. Ken Albala. And he has written about beans. He has written about pancakes. He has written about 15th century Roman, ancient Roman. And his most recent book was about gelatin. And he has a very interesting way of approaching it. So he was making all kinds of interesting things with gelatin, including, was it a BLT? Speaking of BLTs.
And in what position was gelatin used?
All positions.
While I don't understand so, that in the least.
Gelatin bread. Uh-huh. Gelatin.
Gelatin's very pretty yes. to photograph.
Sure.
You put light under it, and it's gorgeous. And I think part of the appeal for kids, you know, like you, to be attracted yes. to it was the color and the light, and maybe the taste.
Yeah, I'm still all about bright things and shiny objects.
Sure, sure. What are some of the maybe more surprising recipes in that Jell-O cookbook that people, you know, you imagine Jell-O? Make a thing of Jell-O.
Well, we can start with
put
the back
it in a cup,
cover.
Put some whipped cream on it. What is that?
The back cover is lemon Jell-O filled with zucchini, red bell peppers, and celery. So that would be a salad. That would be considered a salad.
Uh-huh.
The one I always wanted to make as a kid that I never had the chance to make, and now I probably won't anyway, is a honeydew melon that the seeds were removed and it was filled with Jell-O. But interesting, it's one of the pictures that didn't make it into color. So you see this gray blob being sliced into, and you can imagine that it has a Jell-O salad in the middle.
Okay. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551 for your single subject cookbook questions and comments. Really kind of anything you want to bring up that is being brought to top of mind by this conversation. Let us go to the back to the phones, and we will speak with Gloria in Niskayuna. Good afternoon, Gloria.
Oh, hi. Thank you. I must admit, this is the first time I've ever done this, but I couldn't resist the topic because
sure.
I love cookbooks.
Yay!
And when I heard someone say that she loves reading cookbooks like novels, I started to laugh because my friends have told me that I read them like novels. I could sit there curled up on a chair on a Sunday. reading.
Me too.
Me too. Right after my own heart there.
Yeah. And I also was concerned, you know, as a single subject cookbook, I collect bread books, like sourdough bread books. And so I just wanted to share one if you consider it a single subject cookbook.
I definitely would. I would consider a book on sourdough cooking single subject, whereas I wouldn't consider Beard on Bread a single subject book. You know, you have to go a little bit more narrow than I think a large bread book would go. But there are a lot of single subject books. There are bread machine books now. There's certainly the sourdough.
Rye breads, right. Specifically.
Well, what I wanted to share is there's a New World Sourdough Cookbook by Brian Ford. It's wonderful. It takes you from how to grow it and then make the sourdoughs. Breads from rustic to beignets.
That sounds
so
great.
I just wanted to share that with you.
That sounds amazing. And
I will look for that. That sounds really good.
Oh, it's fabulous. And then he also has some YouTube videos. So when I didn't know what I was doing, I went and I watched the YouTube video.
Always helpful.
And so the other thing is, how do you become part of your virtual cookbook?
The virtual cookbook club is in partnership with Kitchen Arts and Letters Bookstore, which is located in New York City on the Upper East Side. But we are 100% online, and our group spans the entire United States. We are coast to coast and everything in between. And we've even had people joining us from Spain and the UK at other times. So it's kitchenartsandletters.com. is the website.
Perfect. Thank you so much. I enjoyed listening to the program.
Thank you so much.
Called in.
Thanks for getting. You see how easy it is, and you can do it again anytime you want to.
Please.
Thank you, Gloria.
Has to come up to be a good topic, like cookbooks.
Yes.
Nice.
Okay. Thank you. Have a great afternoon. Bye. 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Was there anything else in the Jell-O book we wanted to talk about? No. What do we want to talk about next?
Let's move on to Mr. Single Subject, who is a man named Mark Kurlansky.
Yes, indeed. He is.
And he, as of today, has written 39 books.
Let me see how many can I name. Probably only three. Milk, cod, salt.
Salt.
Yes.
You'll be happy to know that his next one coming out is on cheesecake, which I personally can't wait for because he does such a good job of blending. He's a wonderful writer, and he just blends sort of everything about one subject into very readable prose. And I assume in the cheesecake book we'll get some recipes too.
Yeah, I bet we'll get some recipes. And I think the history on that subject is going to be fascinating.
Yeah, he's a great writer. You know, he doesn't only do food books, but he has done a lot of them. I was noticing that he did you were telling me he did a book on Havana that he loved.
Yes, the book on Havana was a surprise for me. I didn't know he wrote about places. I thought it was very either ingredient or, well, I read paper, which is not an ingredient, but an excellent.
It's an ingredient in books.
Yes, it is.
Very important. It's an ingredient in cookbooks. Absolutely.
1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. We have talked about a couple of hot ingredients. Mushrooms specifically were one that you attributed as such. I find that cocktails seem to have, you know, big bursts of popularity. I don't think I'd ever heard of a Negroni until, I mean, it was probably 10 years ago now, but then that you only heard about them. The espresso martini has been huge for a number of years. The Aperol Spritz really exploded in America a bit ago. It seemed almost like Aperol forced that, but it's delicious and I'm not mad. Am I right about this? Do cocktails have big trends?
You are totally right. And there's some books that have followed that I'm really a fan of. The Negroni by Matt Horanek is one of my favorites because it's so visual. He just came up with all these old posters and bottles and labels. And so along with 25 different Negroni recipes, you get ephemera that is so fun to look at. And he did his homework, but he also had a really good visual sense of what would make a book like that really pop. The Culinary Arts series at SPAC had him as a guest, and people loved hearing him talk about that. You know, it was so specific. He followed that book up with one on the martini. And they both have a bit of a retro feel to them, but also very modern.
Do you know the next hot cocktail we should be looking out for? Do you have any scuttlebutt from the underground? I don't know where I'm placing you guys in time, but we'll figure it out.
All over the place.
The espresso martini is still very, very popular.
It is.
Now,
yes.
I would say that bartenders will tell you that that has not slowed down. I think that the sidecar is getting its moment.
Yes.
And you know, we had the old-fashioned moment with Mad Men, which has probably waned a little bit now. But there's no end to the cocktail trends. Fermenting actually has become part of cocktail culture. So, you know, shrubs that you make yourselves, pickles that you put into various drinks.
There is a book called Shrubs.
Yes.
There is the old-fashioned. My favorite single subject in that realm is not a cocktail. It's actually the book Amaro.
Uh-huh.
And
so it's an ingredient. Yeah.
There's what is Amaro? I don't know what it is.
Amaro is Italian bitter fortified wine, basically.
All right.
Liqueur.
Like a vermouth relative.
Yes.
Okay.
Very much
in
so.
That. And my collection of books in the spirit world, in the single subject, not the spirit world, but I like the individual spirits. I think the single subject books for just rum.
Right.
Gin. There's
tequila.
Another gin one.
Yeah.
Vodka. Yeah. I like having all of those. And right now, the one that I'm spending the most time with has nothing to do with spirits. It's actually a sparkling wine book. And just very, very specific. And it takes you on a deep dive into something just so tiny.
Yeah.
Sparkling wine.
And then.
Oh, and there is a spritz book, too.
And celebratory. If you get to, if you're hanging around with sparklers, you're like, all right, maybe things are good and I'm having fun. Let's go to another call. We'll go to Mary in Matamoros. Hello, Mary.
Hello.
Hi. You are on.
Hi. Yes. Hi. I believe it was you ladies had spoken about, it's not a single subject book, but I want to find it. And it was a book about someone who collated various cooking methods or studied the cooking methods of the immigrants who came into, I believe it was New York City, and it was taking their best recipes or their favorites and kind of adapting them to American-style cooking, kind of to ease the immigrant housewife into American-style living. And it had more than, it had recipes, it also had menu planning, and I think you had said, like, cleaning. I mean, it was very, very thorough. And I could not find this book, and I think it's something to do with the settlers.
Yes.
Does that title sound familiar,
or does
that book sound familiar to you?
My brain is not, it's the Settlement Cookbook. Was it the Settlement Cookbook?
Yeah.
My brain is not
bringing
the title back up clearly, but I believe it's the Settlement Cookbook.
The Settlement Cookbook by Lizzie Black Candor. If the title is the Settlement Cookbook, the author is Lizzie Black Candor.
But you've also hit upon a trend that is definitely in the cookbook world now, which is a lot of books now are focusing on recipes from immigrants to the U.S. and their homeland cooking, and how they have incorporated the food of their childhood or their parents' childhood into their American lives. And there are many, many cookbooks now coming back around to that, and to you'll see it especially in the Asian cookbooks and how many there are right now. Korean American Cookbook by Eric Kim is one of my very favorites. He grew up in Atlanta, but he's got such a beautiful take on this sort of American growing up in a with Korean parents and blending all these flavors. He writes a column for the New York Times now, so you can follow his work pretty easily. And he has a recipe for tomato sauce in the summer that I make all the time. It's a no-cook tomato sauce. It has nothing to do with Korean food. And I was so happy to see that he isn't pigeonholed into only being able to talk about Korean-American food. He does it very well, but he does more things than that. But it's interesting to think back to the settlement cookbook and also see this, you know, what does that really look like today?
Well, thank you so much. I have seen, as very well aware of a lot of American chefs, notable ones who have radio and TV programs, are bringing back like, the buckwheat recipes, or they'll have it, you know, they'll showcase that or have that on their program. And it.
Mary, sorry, I had to cut you off because we're out of time. I thought I was going to at least get you between a sentence, and I apologize for the abruptness of that cancellation of your call. We are just about out of time. We are out of time. Apologies to Amy, who I've left on the line. I believe that that is our Amy Halloran, and thank you for calling. I'm sorry I didn't get to you. Thanks to Pam Abrams and Chef Annette Tomei for being with us today. Thank you both.
Thanks for having us.
We're delighted to be here.
Support for Vox Pop comes from Bodywork Professionals, licensed massage therapist Albany Saratoga Springs Niska Yuna, Nick Pavaldi, structural integration practitioner, Rolfer proprietor, 518 Massage, or bodyworkprofessionals.com, Clock Estate Hudson, New York, an earth to glass brandy distillery and destination that features tourist tastings, fine dining, and a hilltop view of the northern Catskill Range, clock-estate.com, Berkshire Food Co-op in downtown Great Barrington, a community-owned grocery store working to serve a reliable source for local produce and groceries. Everyone is welcome. Berkshire.coop. And Nona Anoma's Culinary Boutique, Gilderland at Crossgates Mall, for cooking and entertaining supplies, locally owned and family-run. NonaAnOma's.com. Thanks to Zach, our engineer, Ed Rosen on the phone. Medical Monday is on Monday. Have a great weekend.